Let's turn together to Philippians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let's pray and ask God's blessing on his word. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts in a fresh way. This is a familiar passage for many of us, but God, you always have a fresh word. You always have a fresh rhema word for us in your word. It's never stale. So, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage us and strengthen us and convict us where we need to receive encouragement, conviction, and strengthening. We just commit this time to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. I've titled this message, Three Good Investment Tips for 2025. Let's go back in the past. If you had invested $1,000 in Apple back in 1997, just as Steve Jobs was being rehired back to his position there, if you put $1,000 in Apple at that time and kept it in there and kept returning the dividends to it, you would have almost $2 million today. $1,000 turned into almost $2 million. On the other hand, if you had invested, let's say, $100,000 in Blockbuster in the early 2000s when they were at the peak of their game and they were the top movie rental store in the country, if you invested $100,000, that would be worth almost nothing today. In 1997, Yahoo had the opportunity to purchase a young company called Google for $1 million. They chose instead to pass on that and to invest in Yahoo Kids. Today, Google has a market capitalization of over $1.3 trillion. Yahoo Kids was shut down in 2013. Most of us may not follow the stock market, but we are all investors. We all invest. We invest our time. We invest our money. We invest our energy. We invest our thoughts. We invest actions into something. And a good question to ask now and then is, am I investing in the right things? Should I change my portfolio somewhat and move some things that I'm investing here into something fresh and new? And I feel like as we're kind of like hitting into a new year, this would be a good time for us to ask that question. Most importantly is, am I investing my life in what God wants me to invest my life in? So this is going to be a little different take on a passage, but I believe that Paul gives us some good, great investment tips that we can take with us into 2025. And the tip number one is invest your confidence in Jesus. Tip number one, invest your confidence in Jesus. Let's pick up in verse 4, Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul is taking inventory of his life. And by Jewish standards, his stock was very high. He had every reason to be confident in his life. As he took inventory, he was circumcised according to the word of God on the right day, in the right way. He came from good stock, a Hebrew of Hebrews, from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, which was one of the top religious orders. His zeal was unquestioned as he persecuted the church because he believed them to be heretics. And then as far as keeping the law, blameless. Outwardly, he was blameless. He was rigorous in his keeping of the law. This is Paul's inventory of who he is or who he was and what his confidence was once built on. These are the things that earned him respect and admiration as he walked down the street. These are the things that had people look up to him and said, his stock is rising. And at one time, he was confident that these are the things that made him righteous in the sight of God. And then he met Jesus, and his portfolio, investment portfolio, completely flipped inside out and upside down. Read with me in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What we see here is what Paul once thought was priceless, he now considers rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of just knowing Jesus Christ. He took all his confidence that he was righteous in the eyes of God because of his flesh, because of what he was doing, because of who he was, his identity, and how he pursued the law. And he did everything he could for God in a zealous and vigorous way. And he took all his confidence that these are the things that make me righteous with God, and he put them on the rubbish heap. He put it all out. He kicked it all to the curb. And he said, you know what? I am reinvesting my confidence in the righteousness that comes from God through faith. I am reinvesting my confidence from who I am and what I do to who Jesus is and what he did. Because that is priceless. That has surpassing gain and worth. And what happened when he did this reinvestment is he lost everything that once meant so much to him. He lost the respect and admiration of the Jewish community. Religious leaders who once looked up to him now considered him a heretic. In the eyes of the people, his stock, which was rising, has now plummeted. It's now penny stocks. He lost everything, but he knew he gained so much more by putting all his confidence in Christ and the surpassing worth of knowing him. Now, I want to point out what was rubbish to Paul wasn't that he was Jewish, wasn't that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, wasn't that he was circumcised or those things. What was rubbish to him was the confidence he had in the flesh. The confidence that he could be righteous in the eyes of God by what he did, by keeping the law. So he moved his confidence to Jesus. And confidence in Jesus is always a good investment. So this morning, it's good for us to take inventory of our lives. And I hope and pray that in your mind and in your heart, you might take inventory of your life. Where am I at? What am I investing in? What am I giving my life to? What's my confidence in? Putting our confidence in Jesus is always a good investment. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, no one who puts his trust in Jesus will ever be put to shame. You're never going to be embarrassed at the end of the day. You're never going to be embarrassed because you trusted in Jesus. You're never going to find that you got no return on that. Invest your confidence in Jesus. Be confident if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Be confident that he paid for your sin on the cross. He paid for your sin on the cross. Be confident in that. Be confident that you are righteous in the eyes of God with the righteousness that comes from God by faith in Christ. Trust in Christ and his righteousness, not in your own righteousness, Now you say, well, if I'm a Christian, of course I know this, of course. But the reality is we are by default legalists. We go to legalism by default. We start to think, we start out saying, okay, faith in Christ, but then we move it to, but am I reading the Bible enough? Am I praying enough? Am I being doing good works enough? Am I this enough? Am I not sinning enough? Because I struggle with sins. Am I not sinning enough? And we start to think that this is the grid through which God is looking at you. You didn't pray today. God's kind of sick and tired of you. You didn't read the Bible today. God wants nothing to do with you. You're not even a serious Christian because you're still struggling with these sins. And we begin to smuggle in the flesh. How am I doing? Put all your confidence in Christ, brothers and sisters, that He has paid the full price, that He has given us, imparted to us a righteousness that is Christ's righteousness. Put your trust in that. But be confident also that God holds your life in His hands. When we are confident that God holds our lives in His loving, powerful hands, when we endure trials, we recognize trials as testimonies in the making. What's God going to do in this? We recognize failures as God's way of teaching us how to do things differently, but He also teaches us humility, which is a wonderful thing. And we see success as an opportunity to give humbly the credit to God. We just see life through a different grid when we know that God is the one who holds our hands and we want our lives to belong to Him. Paul had his whole life planned out until Jesus knocked him off his horse. And every now and then, it's good for Jesus to knock us off our horse too, right? And say, I've got a better plan for your life. I've got a better plan. Paul was going in this direction. He had plans. I'm going to grab a little lunch in Damascus. I'm going to kill a few Christians, imprison a few others, and call it a day. And Jesus knocked him off his horse and said, I got a different plan for your life. A totally different plan for your life. The people you're killing, you're going to be one of them. And sometimes Jesus, I think, wants to knock us off our horses and say, I've got a different direction for your life, for your plans, for what you think you're going to accomplish. And Jesus can always accomplish more with our lives than we ever, ever could. We tend to put more confidence in, I tend to put more confidence in my plans. And maybe you do too. Do you worry more than you pray? That's confidence in your plans. Now you say, I don't have any confidence. I'm afraid. I'm up all night. I'm concerned. I'm sweating bullets. I'm doing this and that. But are you abandoning a pursuit of God and His will because you think everything so depends on yourself? That's confidence. It's just not confident confidence. But we can put our trust in the Lord. And we can give God the reins of our life. You know why Yahoo decided not to buy Google? One of the major reasons why they decided not to buy Google. Because, remember, the internet was kind of new back then. This whole thing was kind of new. And they developed a business model where they got their income, ad income, from ads that were posted on their page. And so their goal was to keep people on their page as long as possible. And Google, their model was to move you as fast off their page to wherever you wanted to go. And they said, we're going to lose revenue if we don't hold tightly to people. We want people on our page. We want them staying on our page. And they held grip tightly. They figured they'd lose. But today, Yahoo struggles to stay solvent, and Google is worth over $1 trillion. Invest your confidence in Jesus. Like, we need to stop white-knuckling this thing and say, God, my life's yours. Do with it as you will. I give you the reins. He will do marvelous things. Confidence in Jesus is always a good investment. Tip number two, recognize there's value in the bull markets and the bear markets. Verse 10, Paul writes this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, a market is called a bull market when stocks are rising, a bear market when stocks are falling. Life has its ups and downs. It has its good times, it has its hard times. There are times when our stocks are rising, there's times when our stocks are falling. Bull markets are exciting, bear markets are scary, but there's value in both. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. That's the big goal of his life. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Sign me up for that. Amen? Sign us up. Who doesn't want to know the power of Jesus? Who doesn't want to know the resurrection of life of Jesus? When everything is going good, when you are, and when it's cool to be a Christian, and everybody's like, whoa, let's follow Jesus, and miracles are happening, and you pray once, and then this huge thing happens, and blessings are pouring out on your life, and good times, and everything is good. Who doesn't want that? But then come the bear markets. Then comes the fellowship of his sufferings. And it's like, you know what? I didn't sign up for that. I have seen over the years Christians walk away from Jesus because life got hard. Turn away and walk away because life got hard. Maybe very, very hard. But I've seen people walk away from Jesus because life got a little bit hard. I'll never forget, I was a teenage Christian. This guy who was a few years older than me came up to me and said, I'm walking away from Jesus. He had been part of our youth group for over a year. I said, why? He said, I asked Jesus for two things. He didn't give me either. I said, what did you ask him for? He said, I asked him to give me a wife, and I asked him to give me a recording deal. He played bongos. When was the last time you saw a record of a bongo player? So he really was asking for a miracle. Maybe both of them were miracles for this guy. I don't know. Maybe the wife was even a bigger miracle. The point is that there are people who sign up, and you give me the power, man, I'm there all day. You give me the resurrection, life blowing and up and doing great and everything's good, I'm there with Jesus. I love him. But as soon as the fellowship of suffering, as soon as the prayer doesn't get answered the way we want, as soon as the economy doesn't do what we want, or as soon as we can't find a job within a certain amount of time, or the sickness doesn't go away the first time we pray, or maybe not at all. And then it's like, I don't want this anymore. Jesus failed me. No, he didn't fail you. He promised you you'd have hard times. He promised you that you would suffer at times. He promised you that you'd have tribulation. You can say, I don't want that. You can say, Jesus isn't worth it to me. But don't say he failed you, because he did not. He promised us that we would have tribulation in this world. There is fellowship. So I love the good times. I love the power times. We should pray with faith. We should seek God. Let's pray that God blesses 2025 in amazing ways. Amen? Let's pray for great things. Let's expect great things from God. But sometimes those great things come in the form of bear markets, come in the form of suffering. And in that, Paul says, there is a fellowship with Jesus that is deeper and sweeter than we often ever find in the bull markets, in the good times, in the power and the resurrection times. Dave Ramsey shares about a time early in his marriage when he borrowed too much money and the bank recalled it. They called in his debts, and he and his wife lost everything they had. And he says this, he says, I remember being so scared I couldn't breathe. I would stand in the shower and I would cry. But then he says this, I met God on the way up, but I got to know him on the way down. There is a value in the bear markets. There is a value in the fellowship of suffering, where Jesus walks closer to us. and we find his heart, his love, his compassion to be sweeter to us. And that's worth everything. So if you are ever tempted to walk away from Jesus in times of suffering, don't do it. Don't do it. Walk even closer with him instead. Tip number three, make every day an investment into a better futures. And that's not a misspelling. Let's see if we got, yep, it's up there. It's not a misspelling. In stocks and commodities, futures are contracts to buy and sell at a specified price and a specified future date. And it's risky because you don't know what the prices will be in the future at that specific time. So it's investing in tomorrow today. And that's what Paul says he does every day, only without the risk. Verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, we see such a passion for where he's going, such an excitement for where he's going. God's laid his hands. Jesus has grabbed his life. God has an upward call and a prize at the end. But man, Paul is going to run till he breaks the tape. That's what he's saying. There is nothing passive in this. I'm just hanging out until I go to heaven. That's Paul's passionate. He is running hard. He is sweating. He said, I'm going to finish my course. I'm not going to let anything stop me from running the race. He's investing in tomorrow, today. He says, I press on. I'm acting today. I press toward the goal. I'm doing this today to apprehend my future, which is reaching toward those things which are ahead. I'm reaching for what God has then, right now. And we all do that. We are all, in some way or another, sowing towards tomorrow today. We are sowing what our tomorrow is going to look like today. We are investing in tomorrow today. So it's not like, you know, and this is why I say it's good to take inventory. And I'm doing this. How did I get here? Well, to some degree, I might be in a place that I don't want to be in. To some degree, I may need to look back on yesterday. Did I sow something yesterday or through a lot of yesterdays that got me to today? And then apply that, because right now we can't do anything about yesterday, but we can do a lot about tomorrow. So here, are just as we kind of close and wrap up, I just want to share a couple of very brief thoughts to help us as we take that action based on confidence in Jesus. First of all, don't despise the day of small steps. Don't despise the day of small steps. A couple of years ago in a New Year's message, I closed with an encouragement that we think big and pray big. And that's good advice. Except it can make us think that only big counts. That only big counts. Forward progress with small steps is far better than not having progress at all. Most of our forward progress in life is going to be in small steps. One of these days, I'm going to preach a message called Think Small and Pray Small. Because small can be very powerful over time. The accumulation of the little things, the little steps, the little investments accumulated over time can make a big difference. Big or small isn't as important as the direction. Are we making forward progress? Are we going backward? Or are we stuck in the same place? In 1979, the Seattle Seahawks played against the Los Angeles Rams, and in the entire game, they only gained 48 yards. But it got worse than that because their quarterback was sacked 6 times for a loss of 55 yards. So their net yardage was -7 yards for an entire hour of football. You're not going to score many touchdowns with negative yardage. If we stay in the same place, we're actually probably losing ground because of the currents of life. We get sacked, we get penalties, and we lose ground. So we want to press forward, even if it begins with small steps. So take inventory and see if there's one or two, maybe three areas in your life that you want to take small or big steps towards a goal God is putting on your heart. And then map out those steps. And don't think it all has to be in big, massive steps. Second thing, embrace change. Because of Paul's confidence in Jesus, he presses forward towards new goals, new opportunities, new challenges. And all of that means change. Embrace change. We'll never get different results if we keep doing the same things. If we want to become stronger Christians, stronger in our faith, we're not going to do it by doing the same things that got us where we are now. If we want to be better spouses, or better parents, or better friends, or if we want to be used in the ministry in the kingdom of God in some new way, it's going to take stepping out of our comfort zone and doing something new, pressing forward in a new way. If we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same results. And I think God always wants us to have a new challenge, a new set of comfort zone challenging steps in our lives. So embrace change. Embrace change. And that includes embrace the failure that can come with change. You do something new, and it might fail. I don't like to fail. So I tend to be reluctant about doing new things till I get to a tipping point. Then I'm like, okay, let's just do it. But failure is always a possibility when we embrace new. Last week over the Christmas holiday, Janice took our family to blow glass ornaments. And our grandson, Justice, who lives life at 100 miles an hour, he gets there, and when it comes time to blow into the air and to make the ornament grow, he blew so hard it just kind of blew everything out. And so the glass blower was ready for that moment. He gave Justice a little slip of paper, and on it was a quote from Albert Einstein. It said this: "A person who never made a mistake never tried anything new." Justice came home. I wasn't able to go with that. He came home with that slip, and he's like, "See this, granddad? See this, grandpa? This is what he gave me. Can I make a copy of it on the printer?" So he made a bunch of copies of this quote, and we had Albert Einstein all over the house. Let's make some mistakes, okay? Let's make some mistakes in 2025. You game for that? God can teach us so much through failure and mistakes. Let's go for it. Let's embrace change. And last thing, keep going and don't give up. Paul says he forgets those things that are behind. He doesn't dwell on the past. He doesn't dwell on past mistakes, regrets, the past should-haves, could-haves, and would-haves. We can all dwell on what we didn't do and wish we had done it, and what we did do and wish we hadn't done it. But that's not going to get us anywhere. Leave the past in the past. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Failure isn't fatal unless it causes us to give up. Remember the Seattle Seahawks and their lousy negative 7 yardage game? Worst in NFL history. Still a record. You know, 1979. It's a lot of years. They're hoping somebody else breaks that record. But here's the thing. They were able to forget that game. They were able to keep going. And at the end of that year, they put together a winning season. They didn't let that failure define them or stop them. So keep going, keep going, keep going. God's got us. Let our confidence be in Him. If you're not a Christian, put your confidence in Jesus. Take it off yourself. Take it off your bank account. Take it off, you know, politics. Take it off anything else. Put it on Jesus. No one who trusts in Jesus will ever be ashamed. That can't be said for anything else. Put your confidence in Jesus. And for those of us who are believers in Christ, let's put it in freshly. I need to do that. Let's strengthen weak hands. Let's put our confidence in Jesus.